I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles once again with me to the book of Judges this evening. Judges in chapter number 7. And I'm very, very, very thankful for the opportunity to speak and to share God's Word with you guys this evening. And I hope and pray that this passage of Scripture is as encouraging to you as it has been to me. And we find ourselves in a passage of Scripture, maybe a quite a familiar passage of Scripture, as we see the great Bible character of Gideon. And I'd like to draw your attention specifically to Judges chapter number 8 and verse number 4. And try to draw some biblical truth from this Scripture, this passage this evening. Notice what it says in Judges chapter 8, verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'd like to talk on that little truth, to share what the Lord has shown me, faint, yet pursuing them. Now, as I said, we are very familiar with the book of Judges, and we know what happens in the book of Judges. We see the continual cycle of the children of Israel falling continually into sin, and then God sending a persecution, God sending an enemy to chasten the children of Israel, and then eventually God sending a deliverer, a judge. And so as we come to this passage, we see that same exact pattern. And in chapter number six of Judges, it says this: and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And there's that cycle happening: the children of Israel doing evil, and the children of Israel falling into the hands of the enemy. But God chooses a man, and He raises up a man in verse number 11 of chapter 6, who you're familiar with, named Gideon. The Scriptures say, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's very interesting when you look at Gideon. Gideon's in many ways quite similar to Moses, and the fact that he was chosen, he was selected by God, but he didn't think himself very worthy. He didn't think very highly of himself. And you'll notice what he says. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I believe that Gideon was no doubt discouraged, no doubt facing hardship with all that he was facing. And he begins to, I don't think he was challenging God in the sense, I think that he thought that this angel of the Lord was not serious, was almost taking the mick out of him, if you will. But the Lord looked upon him in verse number 14 and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Very interesting how God selected, He chose this man, a man who didn't think highly of himself, a man who was very, very quite humble, and recognized that even amongst his own kindred, amongst his own family, he was nothing special. He wasn't able to raise up armies amongst his own tribe, let alone amongst all the children of Israel. He was a man who was just a farmer. It tells us that he was threshing wheat. He wasn't a very special man at all. Yet God called him, and God called him a mighty man of valor and said that the Lord was with him. And we know the story of Gideon. Gideon begins to call together men of war who would go to fight, who would go to battle for the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that there were thousands of men there. But the Lord tells them, he looks at these thousands of men, and he tells them in verse number 2 of chapter number 7, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Unless Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." The Lord said, yeah, there are too many people. In fact, I want to decrease the size of your army. And so the Lord does that and sends away, Gideon sends away any who is fearful, any who is afraid, and they are to go back to where they came from. But then in verse number 4, again the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Still too many. It's not the way the man thinks. It's not the way that we would have things to be, but it was the way that God desired things to be done. And we know through the test, if you will, of the drinking of the water, that God narrows it down to 300 men. Gideon and 300 men. And they're going to stand up against the Midianites. And God will deliver them. You know the story. You know about the pitchers, the torches and the trumpets and the fear that ensues amongst the camp, the Midianites turning sword against sword, fighting amongst themselves. In fact, the scriptures tell us that 120,000 men slew themselves and well, I guess not slew themselves, but were killed there by verse number 10 of chapter number 8. They ran, they fled, and the Lord gave a great victory. But what I want to draw your attention to is that little phrase in verse number 4. The scriptures tell us that the Israelites, the 300, Gideon and his 300, were faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. Now this is the reality, I believe, of many today in our world. I think that little word faint could describe very many Christians. If you look amongst the church here in the United Kingdom and in the Western world, into America and different parts of our globe, there are many reasons to be faint. Faint, the idea of being worn out or weary, the idea of being tired, I'm at my wit's end, I'm ready to throw in the towel, I'm done with it. And oh, so many Christians have come to that point in their Christian lives where things have gotten hard, the battle's getting rough, I'm not really enjoying the way things are going, and I'm ready to give up. I wonder if that's you tonight. I wonder if tonight you're here and you say, I understand that there's a battle. I understand that the Christian life is a war. But quite honestly, I'm done with it. Things haven't gone the way I intended. My life has unfolded contrary to my own plans, to the way I thought God would have it to be. Faint from physical trials, faint from emotional hardships, faint from the lack of results. Oh, how many times have you heard that saying, well, door knocking doesn't work anymore. The open air doesn't work anymore. Why would we try to evangelize? Maybe we need some sort of new method. So many are discouraged. Faint from the wickedness of the world. Faint from spiritual battle. I wonder tonight, are you faint? Are you faint? When you look at the scriptures, we see this little word faint used many, many times. Psalm 107. We took our theme of camp from here. Psalm 107. The scriptures tell us in verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Describing the children of Israel, describing their hardship as they wandered in the wilderness. They were faint. They were discouraged. things were not going the way that they intended. They thought as they would leave Egypt that things would go well, but they were faint. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ described the people, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They fainted. They were ready to give up. They were worn out. They were tired. They were disinterested in going any further. The scriptures tell us that this described Gideon and his 300. Gideon and his 300 were faint. I want you to notice, why were they faint that day? Notice first of all, in verse number 19, really through 23, really from chapter number 6 to verse number 23 of chapter number 7. Why were they faint? They were faint because of their adversary. When you look at chapter number 6 there, the scriptures tell us that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown and the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Very interesting. We see that no doubt the children of Israel had sinned. The children of Israel had fallen into evil, but they began to feel great persecution from the Midianites. So much so that they began to run and they hide. And the scriptures tell us that they went to the hills. They found dens. They found caves to find a place of stronghold. They were in fear. They were broken because the enemy was great. And the enemy had come into their camp, and the enemy was devouring them, was destroying them. I wonder tonight, are you faint because of the enemy? You and I know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 tells us this, that we wrestle against principalities and powers and wickedness. We wrestle against Satan himself. The scriptures tell us in 1 Peter 5:8. That the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I wonder tonight, do you feel like he's got a hold of your life and devouring you? Spiritually speaking, no doubt in Gideon's day, the children of Israel were physically oppressed, physically facing great adversity. But in your day, in your life, right now, I wonder what adversity, what hardship are you facing? Spiritual battle are you going through that you just say, you know what, I'm just about done with it. I'm done with life. I'm done with this Christian thing. I'm done with coming to the cold tent. We're about to get into the middle of winter. Is it really worth it? Faint. Oh, how this describes so many. I wonder if it describes you. We need to wake up to the fact that we are at war. Many in this world, many Christians who are very, very blind to the fact that we are at war. Maybe not physical war, and it doesn't seem like we're at battle with anybody physically, but spiritually. Satan is seeking your soul. Oh, how he would love to grasp your eyes and pull them away from the things of God. Oh, how he would love to pull your heart and lure you in through the devices of this world, through the allurements and temptations of this world. Oh, how he desires to seek your soul. And Satan, as a roaring lion, will walk past your life time and time and time again, waiting for that one moment when your back is turned, when your head is down, when you're not aware, when you're not alert to the reality of that battle and of his attack, to seize you and to destroy you. This is what had happened in Gideon's day. The children of Israel were discouraged. They were faint. They had been battling those who had gone to battle. They had been up, no doubt, all night, fearful, knowing that they were going to battle, preparing their torches, preparing their trumpets, getting into position secretly so that when they broke the clay pots, that it would be a shock. It would be a surprise to the Midianites. They had worked hard and prepared, and they were worn out. They were faint. They were faint. And as you read, they continue to pursue. And in chapter number 7, they blow their trumpets. They break their pitchers. Verse number 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zerarath, and to the border of Abel Meholah, and unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. They went to battle. They went to war. But in chapter number 8, verse number 4, the scriptures tell us that they are faint. They're worn out from battle. But notice, secondly, not only are they faint from the battle, not only are they faint from their adversaries, from the enemy, but notice also their faintness. They are faint from their allies. Faint from those who were supposed to be on their own side. The scriptures tell us in verse number 24 of chapter number 7, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters of Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. You would think here that the Ephraimites, that they would be quite pleased with the fact that they got to join in the battle. They got to join there with Gideon and his 300 and pursue the Midianites. In fact, while they're pursuing, they were able to grab a couple of the princes, some of the royalty there, and Oreb and Zeb, and they're able to conquer the enemy. But notice what happens in chapter 8, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Now remember, Ephraim was a tribe of Israel. These were people who were supposed to be a part of Gideon's army. These were people who were supposed to be battling alongside him. In fact, they do. But after the battle, after this little skirmish that takes place, they come to Gideon and they begin to criticize him, because they didn't do things the way He didn't do things the way they would have liked to have seen it done. And they begin to criticize him and said, why have you not called us earlier? Why did you not ask us to fight alongside with you? These were supposed to be their allies. These were supposed to be their friends. These were supposed to be the guys that were, as Pastor has been preaching, keeping rank with them, standing shoulder to shoulder and holding the line right in the trenches side by side with them. And they turn to Gideon and they say, you have failed us. It's your fault. Oh, how many times have our allies, have our friends criticized us? The criticism of our friends and family is like salt in an open wound. You can do more damage with your tongue than the greatest powers of the world can with a sword. Criticism. Rebuke. How many times has gossip and gainsaying of Christians discouraged us more than the enemy itself? Think of that. These men, you know why they wanted to be in the battle? You know why? Notice what it says in verse number 2. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim, they're speaking about land and property, better than the vintage of Abiezer? You know, in this day when they would go to battle, they would conquer the Midianites, and then they would begin to conquer the possessions that were there. They would take the land for themselves. And the children of the Ephraimites here, you know what they wanted? They wanted their own land. They wanted their own piece of the pie. They wanted a little bit of the property, a little bit of the riches, a little bit of the wealth of the Midianites. And they were criticizing Gideon because they didn't get their share. I wonder tonight if you're discouraged because of Christians, but even more, I wonder tonight if you are a discourager. If you're the kind of person who doesn't seem to be able to see positive things in people's lives, but only is able to see the negative and only able to complain and to moan and to murmur. Some people here tonight may have a very good gift. The gift of complaining. You're very negative, maybe. Maybe you just really seem to have it together, and you are like many people in this world, many Christians in this world who think that you have a really keen eye on criticism. You're able to see the faults in others. I wonder if you can see the faults in your own life. It's very easy to point the finger. It's very easy, especially when you're thinking of yourself and your own gain, to begin to derail and deride and diminish other people and what they're doing. Pastor spoke recently about Korah. These were the same kind of people, only thinking of their own selfish gain, only thinking of what they could get out of the whole thing. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if you've come to church tonight for that reason, only thinking about what you can get. I hope not. So many people come to church thinking, what will this church give to me? Really, a church should be asking, what can you give to us? How are you going to be a part of this body? How are you going to help move forward the work of God in this world? What are you going to do for His glory? These were the allies, and they were faint from them. They wanted land. They wanted riches. They were complaining because they hadn't received a formal invitation. When you read the book of Jude in chapter number 1, there's only one chapter. But in Jude, we see this exemplified once again in several accounts. In verse number 11, it says this, woe unto them, for if they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Interesting there, Cain was Abel's brother, yet he stabbed him in the back. Balaam was the prophet of Israel, yet he's told the Moabites to send their women in amongst the Israelites to deceive them. Korah, one of the men in the temple, he was helping in the tabernacle, I'm sorry, and he was a man of God, and yet here he comes to Moses and says, you take too much upon you. These were people who should have been close, who should have been allies, who should have been brothers in the fight. Yet they turned their back and they began to cause issues. I hope that's not you. This is the life, the reality for Gideon. He was faint. His 300 with him were faint. They were worn out. They were worn out from the enemy. They were worn out from their allies. But notice this. They were also worn out from the onlookers, from the bystanders. Verse number 4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they are faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. Now, no doubt, the Midianites were taking advantage of the people of Succoth and the people of Penuel, but they, for some reason, notice what they say, and the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine enemy, unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come over again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now these are people, the people of Penuel, the people of Succoth, who said, you know what? We're not getting involved. I'm going to stay out of this. I know you and the Midianites are battling, and I know you guys are at war, but we're pretty all right. We're going to stay out of this whole battle. These were the people who said, you know what? We're going to stay neutral. These are the, sorry to say this, pardon, but these are the Switzerlands who say, we don't want to get in the fight. We don't want to be involved. We think that we're taking the high road for not being involved. Can I tell you, if you are a Christian, tonight, you know that you have passed from death unto life. You know that the blood of Jesus Christ is on your account, and you decide to stay neutral. What a shame. What a shame that God would reach down from heaven and pluck you out of the fire, and you would refuse to carry His cross. You would refuse to link arms with those who are going to fight. That you would refuse to help those who are laboring in the battle for the Lord. And you would say, well, I'm just going to stay out of this one. Go on. Go on. You fight alone. We're going to stay out of this. We're going to stay neutral. The enemy's not really seeming to bother me at all. Shame. Shame on you. As Christians, we need to wake up. We need to get serious about this battle. We need to link arms. We need to keep the rank. We need to hold the line. We need to dig in. We need to keep pursuing. And I know life is hard. I'm not an old man. I get it. Some of you guys could run circles around me with your stories of the hardships of life. You've been through things that I've never experienced and may never experience. Life is hard. But can I tell you, there is a cause to fight for. That's what David said. The children of Israel were standing there, and Goliath would come out and taunt the children of Israel day after day. Goliath would come out and criticize their God, the Israelites' God, the God of the Bible, our God, the God of heaven. They'd criticize. And David comes to the camp and he says, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there not a purpose that we are here? That we need to fight? That we need to get up? I don't care how discouraged you are, how faint you are. Let's step up and pursue the enemy. Faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet driving forward. In spite of all that I'm facing, in spite of all that's going on in my life, in spite of all the hardship that is in our world, in spite of all the wickedness, I'm going to move forward for Christ. I hope that's your heart tonight. We're not moving forward for our own namesakes. We're not moving forward to build a bigger tent or build a better field filled with hardcore. That's not our purpose. Our purpose, our reason for being here, for moving forward, is for the glory of Christ. That His gospel would be preached. That the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, sinless, perfect, He went to a cross and upon himself bore the sins of this world, tasting death for every man, standing where you and I should have stood, dying where you and I should have died, taking upon him our sins and dying, being buried and then rising again the third day, that you and I might have life. And not that just you and I might have life, but that others too might have life. And then before he ascended, he gave us this commission. He gave us this great command to go ye therefore, to go into the nations, to preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He gave us a mission. He gave us a task. He gave us a reason to go forward. He gave us something to pursue after. Is there not a cause that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven? They didn't give up. They didn't give in. They would not stop pushing forward for the Lord. These 300 men, Gideon, exhausted, at their wits' end, hungry, tired, no doubt thirsty, wondering where they're going to move forward to next, and then knowing that there are more battles to face. They were done. Yet they determined in their heart, they determined that they would keep pursuing. No matter how hard it got. No matter how much criticism they received. Notice Isaiah 40, a very familiar passage. Verse number 29, he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Today, my brother and sister, our strength is in the Lord. The ability to push through when we are faint, the ability to keep pursuing even though life is hard, is found in Him. Not in self-help books and not in all this fancy things that the world has to offer, but in Christ alone. Everybody says, I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for all these things. Well, look for Christ. Look for Christ, because that's where you can find peace. Not in some sort of bubbly beverage or in some sort of weird pretzel-shaped shape of your body. Not in any of these things, but in the Lord. In Him. He alone can sustain us. He alone can strengthen us. He alone can drive us forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For all things, verse 15, are for your sakes. And the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, our light affliction. I wonder if you and I can say that through the hardships that we face. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I wonder today, are you fainting? Are you worn out? Are you exhausted? Are you at your wit's end? Would you look to the Lord? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us drive on for the Lord. Let us keep pursuing. Psalm 107, we looked at this earlier. In the book of Psalms in chapter 107, we saw the discouragement, the hunger, the thirst, the weariness in these people's lives. But notice what they did, and this is the answer. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them
out of their distresses?
The answer is in Christ. Hundreds of years ago, maybe not hundreds, but over 100 years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson. The Lord called him and put a burden on his life to reach the Burmese people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he and his wife packed their bags and they shipped off. They went to Burma. No doubt a hard trip, a hard travel. As they didn't have airplanes and things like that. They had to go by ship down around the edge of edge of Africa and up into Burma. And as they got there, things began to go well, very slow, trying to learn the language, trying to reach people and not seeing many fruit, not really seeing any fruit of all and at all. But they were blessed to have a child. His wife, she was with child. She got pregnant and praised the Lord for that. But then something happened in the nation. Turmoil struck. And because of that, the Burmese people went around and found everybody that was foreign. Everybody that specifically was from Europe, and they imprisoned them. And they didn't imprison Adoniram Judson's wife, but they took him. They took his feet and they put him in the stocks. They hung him upside down, and he wrote in his journal that they used to come by and whip the bottom of his feet until they bled. And then he remembers the flies falling on those feet and feasting on the raw flesh, the pain that it would have brought. But through this, his wife, a faithful woman, would come every day and visit him and encourage him. But then one day that stopped. She stopped coming. And he didn't understand why. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know why he was imprisoned and all of this. And finally, for some reason, they left him go. And so he ran home, no doubt on sore feet. He ran to find his wife and his little child dying. And within the week, both of them would step over into eternity, breathing their final breaths. Adoniram Judson was heartbroken. He had lost everything. His wife, his child, his own body was failing him. He thought he had gone there for God, and he thought that God would bless him, and he really believed that God had something great for his life there. And he was just found heartache after heartache after heartache. He was faint. Adoniram Judson packed his bags and he went into the jungle. And with a shovel, he dug himself a grave. And for weeks on end, he writes in his journal that he would sit on the edge of his grave, staring into it. No doubt wishing that his own life would be finished. He said, "To me, God is the great unknown. I know He's there, but I see Him not." I wonder if that's you tonight. Heartbroken, faint, discouraged, maybe because of the enemy, maybe because of your friends, maybe because of someone else, maybe because of something else. I wonder, are you discouraged and faint? Adoniram Judson eventually got a hold of the Lord, and the Lord got a hold of him, and he came out of that jungle and he began to translate the scriptures into Burmese, and he began to distribute the scriptures, and he began to reach people, and souls started to come to Christ. And today, if you and I went to Burma, we would find Burmese Christians pastoring Burmese Christian churches, reaching more Burmese people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they would tell you that the Bible they use and the Bible they read was translated by a man named Adoniram Judson. And they would tell you that Adoniram Judson planted the church. He started the church that they go to. And then he trained the men who helped found the churches they go to. Why? Because he was a man who was faint. He was a man who was ready to throw in the towel, a man who was ready to go on. But he saw the Lord. He saw the glory of God and he kept pursuing. I wonder, will that be us? Will that be how Oxford Baptist Church is described? As a people who, no matter what discouragement we go through, we will continue to pursue God's purpose and God's glory. Faint, yet pursuing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee And we thank Thee for the testimony of a man like Gideon, a man who was willing to fight amidst all odds, a man who, when he was feeling the weight of battle, kept pushing forward. Lord, I ask and pray that Thou wouldst make us people like that. Help us to be people who are ready to fight. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, for Thy glory and for Thy name's sake. Amen.